Happens to be the title of my sermon today, and I am out of our series that I ended on last week entitled A God Worth Knowing, seven parts of talking about the identity of God, the attributes and characteristics of God, and yet at the same token, this in ending a series, I like to have a couple Sundays before I start, a few Sundays before I start a new series, just so I can kind of freestyle. Is that all right? So I can address some things that I don't have in series form yet, and but I think that are pertinent. And I understand that we all go through, as human beings, we go through a lot. And we go through various seasons in our lives. And so today I want to ask the question, do you know what time it is? Do you know what time? Ask your neighbor, do you know what time it is? The reality is we know how important time is. Everything is based on time and surrounded by time. Our lives are even motivated, if you will, by time. We set our watches and our clocks to time. Our agendas and our schedules, our events, birthdays, and even funerals are set to time. Sometimes we even tell other folk, you're going to be late for your own funeral, speaking of time. Our tombstones and obituaries will contain the times of our lives, the time we were born and the time we pass and transition from this life. We even sit at funerals and measure a person based on two things: how long they live and what did they do in the time that they live. Sometimes we say, hey, the time was cut short. They didn't, because they were died so young that they didn't get a chance to really live out their lives. And sometimes people make it to 99 years of age and we say they live a long, full life. And here are the things that they did in that lifetime. Even friendships to some degree are measured by time. How long we've known a person, or when was the last time we've seen a person. There have been numerous songs that have been written specifically about time. Michael Jackson said, do you remember the time? Isn't that what he said? Somebody sang, just give me just a little more time. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Someone else said, if I could put time in a bottle. Cyndi Lauper years ago wrote a song, said time after time. Janet Jackson, last song on a CD, wrote a song called Funny How Time Flies. Morris Day in the Time. Y'all remember them? They keep asking the question, do you know what time it is? That's where I got my title from, watching a little Morris Day. There's been all sorts of idioms and expressions that we use to show you the relevance of time. That we use every day, probably not thinking about it, but it's showing how our life is based on, founded on, and governed by time. Idioms like the right time, good time, bad time, serving time, mocking time, when the time is right, I'm pressed for time, time is money, you have to make time, keeping time, living on borrowed time, at the present time, we had a hell of a time. Can I say that in church? Yeah. In a stitch of time, don't waste your time, better luck next time. This is not the time or the place. You're giving me a hard time, a fight against time, a rough time. It's a long time. You think that you are big time. We had a good time. You're behind times at all times. You're ahead of time. You have time on your side. I'm having the time of our life. It's been a long time coming. An appointed time. Right time. Keep on time. Just in the nick of time. I ain't got time for this. Do you have the time? Time up. I will give you more, but guess what? I've run out of time. Somebody look over your neighbor and say, it's about time. Y'all know how long it took me to put that together right there? I'm tired already. We can define time as the measured or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists and continues. Duration, or a non-spatial continuum that is measured in terms of events which succeed one another from past through present to future. Time is important. Time is very important. And yet we realize all time has been set by God. One to be considered the wisest man that ever lived, King Solomon. Solomon says this beginning with verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 3. To everything there is a season. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Notice that. Under heaven. A time to be born. And there's a time, he says, to die. There's a time to plant, and then there's a time to pluck up what is planted. There's a time to kill, and there's a time to heal. There's a time to break down, but there's also a time to build up. There's a time to weep, and then there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, and then there's a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones. There's a time to gather these same stones together. There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to gain, and church, there's a time to even lose. There's a time to keep, and there's a time to throw away. There's a time to tear, then there's a time to sow or to mend. There's a time to keep silence. There's a time to speak. There's a time to love. God says there's even a time to hate. There's a time of war, and then there's a time of peace. But this is what we all need to know about time and seasons. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He, God, notice this, has made everything beautiful in its what? Time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning, speaks of time, to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, as also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, notice the emphasis is not on the clock, but it's God who governs the clock. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it, that men should fear him. That which is has already been and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. How many times have we heard at least portions and excerpts of this passage of scripture? But contrary to some popular beliefs, these verses are not simply suggesting that there's an appropriate and proper time for specified activities, i.e. that there's a right time to tear down and then there's a right time to build up. Rather, this passage and text suggests that these principles, they all occur, they have been fixed and they have been predetermined by God. Listen to the text. To everything, there is a season. There has been given a season, a time, and a purpose under heaven. Notice verse 10, I have seen the God-given task with which the Son of Man are to be occupied. He has made, God has made everything beautiful in its time, and he's also put time, eternity in their hearts, except no one can find out the work that God does, time, from beginning to end. I mean, let's consider the general proposition that's laid down in the text before, shall we? Mm-hmm. To everything, there is a season. Ecclesiastes 1:1, 3:1. To everything, there is a season. Those things which seem most contrary, the one to the other, will, in revolution of affairs, each take its turn in life and into production. The day will give place to night, and night will once again give place to day. Winter diminishes and spring flourishes. When spring has sprung, it soon ceases its sensation and makes way for summer. When summer has lost her sizzle, it fades. And when the frolicking of fall is no longer winsome, it gives way to winter. And then it repeats the cycle and rotation all over again. Every purpose has its time, and all time has its purpose. The clearest sky will be cloudy. The joy succeeds sorrow, and the most clouded sky will one day clear up. The sun will burst from behind the clouds. Everything is based on times and seasons. Those things which seem most casual and contingent to us are in the counsel of the foreknowledge of God, punctually determined, and the very hour of them are permanent. They're fixed into place and can neither be anticipated or adjourned by any meeting or any discoveries that we make. God has fixed and appointed every time and every season for all men. The proof and illustration of this is given in the induction of the particulars of this text, writing of King Solomon, 28 in number, if you count them, according to the days and revolution of the moon, which is always increasing or decreasing between its full and between the change. These changes are purely the act of God, and they're all determined by the divine counsel of God. Everything under heaven, everything, in other words, on earth, is changeable, but in heaven, there it is an unchangeable state, a constant, unchangeable counsel concerning all of the things that govern this world. There's an immutable God that has absolute control over every changing and transitional moment in time under the sun. Since all has been determined by God, this simply means, church, that life really has purpose. Things aren't just happening. Seasons aren't just coming and going. There's not just good times and bad times. Since God has set a time for everything, and listen, he has a purpose for every time and season, it should give us a sense of security as the result. The continual movements of life do not need to be reviewed as meaningless, because God gives every season and purpose time. British Old Testament scholar Derek Kinder said it this way: instead of changelessness, there is something better. A dynamic divine purpose with its beginning and end. Instead of frozen perfection, there is the kaleidoscopic movements of innumerable processes, each with its own character and its period of blossoming and ripening, beautiful in its time and contributing to the overall masterpiece, which is the work of the Creator. From this perspective, he says, then God's action are not simply arbitrary, but appropriate, and not simply confining, but liberating. You see, we serve a God of seasons. We see it in even creation. God created the four seasons that are based on the rotation of the earth as it orbits the sun. The seasons change as it moves, but the sun in our planetary system, it remains constant. And everything revolves around the sun. And in many ways, we see the signature of God's name written and artistically on all of our lives as a result of what he's done through creation. Much like the earth, our lives should revolve around the S-O-N, Jesus Christ. Times change, seasons change, circumstances change, people change, but God never changes. Our lives will change, and we will enter and exit in many seasons, but the Son of God, he stays constant. He is our yesterday, today, and our forevermore. Yes, we do serve a God of time. God has created a God who has created specific times and created everything that exists from the very beginning, from the very first day of creation. He separated light and darkness, and time began to take place. And then he moved there from there, and he separated the waters and formed dry land. But not only that, he moved from there and he created man, humanity, man and woman, determined not only their consummation, but their civilization, their inhabitation, and even their cessation. Every people group and person on the face of the earth, God has appointed a time for their existence and their non-existence. Acts 27:9-6, the writer says, and God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And listen, has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. I don't know if that means anything to you just yet. Maybe William Shakespeare was right when he said, all the world is a stage and all the men and women are merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. The one man in this, he says, in this time, he plays many parts and acts being seven ages. What was Shakespeare talking about? Literally, Shakespeare was acknowledging that what is being witnessed in the play and therefore the action that is formulated to work out the plot is the result of what the director desires. On the deeper level, he's looking at the fact that our lives, although the main focus to us, are only fleeting parts of a larger part. We all, in other words, make entrances and exits, as do the people in our lives. We all are different at different things at different times to different people. One man could be a man. He could be a father. He could be a son. He could be a grandfather. At different times, he could be an uncle. He could be a friend. He could be a boss. He could be a laborer. He could be a deceiver. He could be a hero. He can be a builder, but he can also be a destroyer at various times in his life. All of these aspects are part of the construction, the makeup of who we are. And we're given this God-given task, if you will, and the Shakespearean thought and mindset that we often play these roles. And these roles are spread out all the time on the dramatic stage called life. We enter others' lives to accomplish something, whether it's good or bad, and then we depart. Our lives are also, we change as we grow and as we age, and hopefully we gain wisdom. What we did in the first act is not the same that we do in the third act, even though the situations might be the same. We have changed our role in different ways as we become more knowledgeable, more experienced, and as other people come into our lives. Note Shakespeare mentioned that there are seven acts, if you will, seven stages in this life. We may consider these seven stages, although he didn't name them, but we could break it down in this way. First of all, birth is our entrance, then childhood, and then youth, our middle age, our old age, and then death is the final stage, the exit. And even though the script has already been written by the divine director, but we have free will to choose every moment how we play out each scene. It's our free will and sovereignty works hand in hand. But because the movie comes from the greatest screenwriter that ever was and ever is and ever will be, every occasion has been thought out much like an interactive video game if you've ever played them. In this epic movie, the actors have multiple choices in the script where if they make a different decision, then a different scenario will play out itself. This feature gives us the illusion of chance, even chaos, and it even sometimes bring about fear. But all the components, these are all the components that make up of a good movie. But the end result is God has already determined the beginning, the end from the beginning, and the beginning from the end. Time. The reality is, even though we may realize that life has many times, seasons, transitions, change, we may realize that before and even after this sermon. We may even realize, if you didn't know it before today, that God is the one who has predetermined and set all of the times and season. But if you've ever been in a low time, did y'all hear what I said? Have you ever, if you've ever been in uncertain times, if you've ever been in troubling times, it still makes you scratch your head and wonder what in the world is going on. The text again said there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. We don't like the death part. We like the living part, the birth part, but we don't like the dying part. We don't like to deal with, if you will, the deceasing, if you will. We know that there's a time to plant, but we also know that there's a time to pluck up. We know that there's a time to kill. We don't like that. We just like the time to heal. There's a time to break down. But this is also a time to build up. We don't like the breaking down. There's a time to weep. We don't like weeping. We like the time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. And it's our darkest, grayest hours. We don't like the time to mourn. We like the time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones. There's a time to gather stones. There's a time to embrace. We like that. Then there's a time from refraining from embracing. I'm not hugging you. I'm not coming near you. There's a time to gain in church. We certainly don't like the time to lose. There's a time to keep, and there's a time. Sometimes you just got to throw things away. There's a time to tear, and there's a time to sow. There's a time to keep silent. Lord knows half the church don't like that. Then there's the appropriate time to speak. There's a time to love, and believe it or not, there's even a time to hate. There's a time of war. There's a time of peace. These times are unavoidable. They're seasons. They rotate. They're ordained by God, predetermined, fixed. They're not only unavoidable, but they're absolutely necessary. But the big question, or a few questions that tie into each other, is this. So what is it that I should know when my life is going through transition? What should I know? What can I make out of every season in my life? And how do I know what time it is? I'm going to attempt to answer those in six things, six statements that we really should know. First of all, I've already stated, but I need you to write this down. First of all, you need to know that God is the one who has set the time and the season in your life. So therefore, he has absolute control. He has absolute control. The time you have a job, the time you're unemployed, God has set both of those. And guess what? You ain't going to be employed again until God say, now is the time. You hear what I said? There's a time to have and there's a time to lose. Listen, when you have, God had already set the determined time of not only when we would have, but how much we would have. And then there's a time to lose, and God set the time when we would lose it and when we would gain it again, and what life will look like in our loss. The time to tear down and the time to build up. God has determined what needs to be torn down in our lives, and then when it will be torn down. And if we don't tear it down, he will tear it down. But he's also determined that it will be built up again. And he appropriated the time for everything. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose. Not just time, but a time for every one of God's purposes. Maybe this is what the psalmist was talking about in Psalms 139, especially in verse 16. He says, God, your eyes have seen my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me. Y'all hear that? When as yet there were none of them. The Living Bible translation says it this way. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. The Message translation, can I give you another one? Says it this way. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life were all prepared before I had even lived one day. Look over your neighbor and say, he's got control. If you know that God has control, This ain't bad luck. Ain't no such thing as bad luck. That happened circumstance. It's not chance. It's the sovereignty of God. But it's not just the sovereignty of God. It's the providence of God. God is all up in it. Secondly, this is what we should know. In every season of life, God not only has absolute control, but God is always active doing something in our lives. He is always active doing something in our life. Every season of our life, God is actively doing something. Just because we may not, listen, understand it, or we may not sense the presence of God, doesn't mean that he's not doing things in our life. First of all, look at one of the key attributes of God. God is an omnipresent God. Amen. In other words, he's in all places at the same time. God is all up in you. He's all up in, they ain't even here yet, but he's all up in them. He's all up in you. He's all over the world at the same time. And let me ask you this question. Being all existent, being in all places at the same time, do you think he's there idly? Why would he be there? He is transcended across human lives in his divinity, listen, because he desires to have a relationship with us. And he just doesn't exist in all places for the sake of existing, for being. Not even just for the sake of being present, but being active. The same God that used words actively to create this world is the same God that uses words actively, his words, to sustain this world. This world cannot be sustained on by itself. God didn't just create the world and step back from it and say, do what you do. He didn't create you and bring you into this world, and you were conceived in your mother's womb, and you popped out, as he said, now you're on your own. No, he said, listen, not even from heaven, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to come down and watch over you. I'm going to come down and be with you. Do you realize he has an active love? His love is always active, even when we don't sense it. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things I don't know, I can't see, I don't sense. There's radio waves going on, amplified voice that you can't see, but you can hear. There's stuff and particles going on. If we would get sun rays in here, you see all kind of dust coming that's in the room. Stuff that we can't see, that's invisible, or that we don't even think about. Sometimes you're hearing me preach and there's something going on behind you that you're not even paying attention to. You really don't even hear it. Somebody said, you hear that baby crying after service? They ask me that all the time. I said, no, I didn't hear it at all. Here's the reason why, because I'm focused on something else. Sometimes we get focused on other things and we don't sense the presence, the active presence of God. But he's always doing something, whether we can see it or understand it or not. No wonder in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, he said it this way, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. We don't think the same way, God says. Nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, that's a long way, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain, listen to this portion, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there. There's a reason why. But water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Listen to this. God says, water falls out of the sky and we ain't paying much attention to it. We see it fall, we grab an umbrella. Snow falls out of the sky, we grab goulashes, mittens, and snow shovels, and we start shoveling. But do we understand that God sent it down for a purpose and a time in this season? And the reason why he said he sent it down is so that it will replenish the soil of its nutrients, so that the sower will have seed and that the eater will have bread. You see, when the rain fall out of the sky, we ain't thinking about bread. We're just thinking about rain. But it says that God is actively, always ahead of us, thoughts far from our thoughts, doing something. And it may be a rainy season in your life. And that's all you can see is the rain and the clouds and the storms. And God says, what I'm doing is I'm making you a loaf of bread. So just go and get your fork and your butter out. Get you a bread knife. Did y'all hear what I said? But this is what he said in verse 11 that ties it in. So shall my word. So shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and it shall prosper in the thing for which it is sent. Church, that's the reason, one of the greatest reasons why no matter what your season looks like, no matter what your time might look like, you need to be here on Sunday mornings. It's because God desires to sow in your life and your season at this present time. And listen, just as rain falls from heaven, he sends it in his time, in his season, and it provides nutrients for the soil to produce seed and bread. God says, just like rain is not wasted, my word is never wasted. Well, just like rain goes down and accomplishes what I intend for it to accomplish, my word will go forth, sown into your heart at the appropriate time and season, and it will flourish. That's the reason why the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 4:12 said, for the word of God is alive and active. Yeah, that's the NIV, alive and active. The word of God is not just written black and red letters on white pages or being preached from the proclaimer's mouth. No, the word of God is alive. In the beginning was the word was God, and the word was with God. The word of God dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. The word of God took upon flesh. Everything that was created and exists was created by the word. That's Jesus Christ. He is alive and he is active in every season of your life. God is always, everywhere, active in this world. Intent and bent on attaining his will and purpose. However we may be aware of this dimension in our experience, but God is active. Somebody say he's active. William Barclay said it this way. Here's a great eternal truth, he says. Life cannot be divided into compartments in which some of which God is involved and in others which he is not involved. The fact is that God does not need to be invited into certain departments of life and keep out of others. He is, Barclay says, everywhere, all through life, and in every activity of life. End of quote. Thank you, God. He's active. Thank you, God. No matter what the time or season. Thirdly, God always has a purpose for every season of your life. Listen to this. You know this. Romans 8:28. And we know. Paul, what is it that we know or should know? And we know that all things. All things what, Paul? Work together. They sun up, sun down. Light, dark. Rainy season, drought. Life, death. Plenty, loss. Y'all get that? All things work. In other words, and they don't just work by themselves. Nothing works by itself. They work together for good. That's the purpose. To those, here's the condition, who love God. Second condition, to those who are the called. Listen to this. Tells us who's working it according to his purpose. God is doing something. He's not just active, but he's purposely doing something in every season of our life. God oftentimes used times and seasons, that's the purpose for him, to bring about transition. This transition bring about change in our hearts. In our understanding and our thinking, Thomas Hardy said it this way, time changes everything except something within us, which is always surprised by change. Maybe you didn't catch it because I had to read it about four times. Time changes everything except something within us, which is always surprised by change. When life is just going along, listen, there ain't no bumps in the road. It's when that car comes out of nowhere and T-bones us. That surprise, it brings about change in our heart. Because sometimes people say, well, you know, time brings about change. It changes everything around us, outside of us, but it doesn't change our heart and thinking. It's when there's transition in our lives. That's when God grabs the heart. That's when God grabs our thinking. That's when God pulls out his spiritual Windex and refocuses our perspective. God has something that he wants to do in our life. And listen, some of us want him to just do it and get it over with, but it takes time. Albert Einstein said it this way, the only reason for time is so that everything doesn't happen at once. Can you imagine what would happen if God did everything he wanted to do in your life and my life at once? I would disintegrate. I fall apart over the little things spread out over time. We can't handle that. You can't make your child see everything, understand everything at one time. Sometimes I tell adults, I think us adults forget that we were once kids. We were once teenagers. Now, I don't tell my kids everything I did when I was a teenager. But here's the thing I realized. It took me 56 years to get where I am now. And if I have 56 more, hopefully I will grow. And in this process called life, God will do some things that he had not done in the first 56 years. But if he had to do them all in one day, why do we think we can sit down with our kids and say, listen, I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to explain it to you one time. No, you won't. You got to explain that thing again. I guarantee you, you will. Have I got a witness? I don't know why we think one time going to work for them and it don't work with us. It never has. God said, I'm going to explain this one time. If you get it, if you don't get it this time, you're just going to miss out on it in life. No, God said, you didn't get it last Sunday, so come back next Sunday. All right? You didn't get it last month, so I want you to come back next month. Okay, I took this away from you. You didn't get it this time, but I want you to get it this time. I blessed you with all of this. And when I blessed you with all that, you forgot me. You didn't get it this time. So let me take it away. That's that change. That's that transition that grips our heart. Over time, God has purposed that all things work together. And they work together for good. They work together for our good. But he has to do it over time in various seasons. Matter of fact, Paul wrote it this way in Philippians. So the Philippians, Philippians 1 verses 3 through 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine making requests for you. Always joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Listen, being confident of this very thing. Paul said, you ain't looking so sharp right now. But I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began or begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Look over your neighbor and say, he started a great work in you. And he's going to complete it. But it won't be done until Jesus comes back. The message says it this way. Every time you cross my mind, I break out in exclamations of thanks to God. Each exclamation, he says, is a trigger to prayer. I find myself praying for you with a glad heart. I am so pleased that you have continued on in this with us, believing and proclaiming God's message from the day you heard it right up to the present. Listen to what he says. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to flourishing finish on the very day that Christ Jesus appears. Look over your neighbor and say, I'm a mess right now. But give him time. Fourth thing. I only got two more after this. No matter what time, some of y'all thinking about time already. What time is this sermon going to be over with? No matter what the time and the season looks like, church, never forget that God loves you. Never forget that he loves you. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 8, 37, 30 through 39 and said, yet in all these things, in every season, we're more than conquerors. This is how and why. Through him who loved us. And Paul said, as a result of that, I'm not only confident, but he says, I'm persuaded. Means that I'm driven by this fact that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sometimes we feel like I done messed up and God doesn't love me. I didn't get it right and God doesn't love me. And I'm trying to avoid the season and God is sending me through this to punish me. Nothing shall be able to separate his love toward you. Nothing. Don't forget that. Because I'm going to tell you the greatest challenge that Satan will present to your mind and heart, even deeper than God has abandoned you, is this. God didn't love you. Because if he loved you, you wouldn't be going through this. If he loved you, you would have this. And if he really loved you, your life would look like this. And if he loved you, your childhood wouldn't look like. And if he loved you, your finances wouldn't look like. And if he loved you, your marriage wouldn't look like this. If he loved you, your marital status wouldn't look like this. That's the greatest challenge. The greatest challenge of any relationship is, do you love me? The one question that Satan keeps before us. It's the one doubt that we always have to overcome. If you don't remember anything else about his love other than John 3:16, remember this right here. I am persuaded that nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Now, there's a bunch of stuff come between my love to him, but ain't nothing shall separate his love toward us. Fifth thing that we need to know, no matter what the season is of life, you got to make good use of time of every season. Amen. Stop all that woe is me. You're going to shed some tears now, but don't stay there all the time. You can't have soggy pants. Just listen, stuff going to hit you. You lose a loved one, you're going to cry, you're going to mourn, you're going to grieve. You got to go through that period. You lose your job, shoot. You might lose that job, get a pink slip on a Friday, and they say, don't worry about coming back Monday. Uh-huh. And you're going to go shouting down Main Street. Heck no. Your thoughts are, man, how am I going to pay my bills, man? My kids, they go to start school Monday. I got to get school clothes. I got to do all this stuff. I got to do this. I ain't going to have no insurance. And I've been going back and forth. All that stuff going to go through your mind. Am I right about it? You ain't ready to throw no praise party right now. That's that time to weep. But then he says, you got to go from weeping to rejoicing. You can't stay in that place forever. Don't stay there, because if you do, people don't want to even be around you. Every time I come around, he's snotting about this and she's snotting about that. You got to make good use of your time. Ephesians 5:16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Listen to this. Redeeming the time. Making good use of the time. That's what it means. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, God has absolute control no matter what the season. So therefore, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to give thanks. Even when it ain't deep in my heart, I got to start somewhere. I got to have a different perspective of the situation. Because I know God is up to something. He's active. He loves me. He's not punishing me. He's not, listen, he's not trying to kill me. But he's doing a work in me. And he's bringing all these pieces together, because all things work together for good. He's bringing them all together. The rain is falling. And he's actively making bread. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to embrace every day as a new day. And it's a day that God is not only in charge, but God is at work. It's a day that I wake up this morning knowing that God loves me. It's a day that I understand that God's working out his plans and purpose in my life. Bill Keane said, yesterday is the past, tomorrow's the future, but today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Y'all gonna catch that right there? I like that right there. But today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. You got to embrace your gift. You got to embrace Your presence is a little delayed effect on somebody out there. It's all right. It happens to me all the time. I told you, I'm a little slow. Finally, here's what you need to understand. If you come out of one season, it means you're stepping into another one. Did y'all hear that right there? Y'all can tweet me on that one. If you're coming out of one season, it's natural that you're coming into another. If you're exiting out of one phase, it means that you are making an entrance. Stepping into a new season. Amen. This is, you're leaving winter and you're going to spring, but you're going to go from spring and summer going to come. It's going to get hot. Things are going to dry up. But then there's fall, and when everything begins, the leaves begin to fall off the trees and the flower petals fall off, then you hit winter. But guess what? Spring is on the way. You've got to, listen, leave one season in order to enter into another season. You may not understand and you can't see all that's being done. A few years ago, had a guy, a long guy, he said, you know, you need to let me aerate, fertilize, and he started talking about all these nutrients he's going to put into the soil, some lime. He said, but you need to let me reseed your grass. I said, man, it's the end of September. I said, fall gear coming in winter. I ain't trying to grow no grass in the fall for it to die. The winter's going to be coming. Snow going to hit it. He said, I said, I'll just wait until the spring, and I'll call you back so you can do this. He said, no. He said, you don't understand. He said, what I do is I poke these holes in the soil, that's aerate, give it some oxygen, put the lime, the nutrients, fertilizer, all that stuff down, put the seed down, and this is what happened. You'll see a portion of it. It'll spring up in a little while, a few weeks. It'll spring up. He said, but then this is what it's going to do. Winter will come, and when winter comes, something going on under the surface that you don't see. It's developing a deep root system over the winter. And listen to this. So it's not growing on the top, but it's growing and catching deep root. And it goes through the hard times, through the cold time, through the tough time. And listen to this. And then when spring comes, it springs up on the top. But when summer comes and the drought comes, because it has persevered the winter and has had a deep root system, listen, it's getting its water from the bottom up, not from the top down. Woo! Don't wait until spring comes before start sowing some seed. Understand that God wants to aerate. He wants to fertilize. He wants to put some nutrition in your life. He wants to reseed right now. And they may say, hey, why do it right now? What's the purpose of it right now? Because guess what? Winter's coming. But so is spring. And then after spring, there's the drought of summer. Then there's fall. But God says, I want to do something in your life right now. You're stepping out of one season, but you're stepping into another. You're leaving one job, and you're about to step into a season of unemployment. And you're going to step out of this season of unemployment to a new job. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Here's a perfect illustration. Matthew 4:18. I know I got to close. It's real simple, so I'll just read it. And Jesus, walking on the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net. They're fishermen, right? Fishing for fish, right? That's what they've been doing all their life. It's their family business. They cast a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me. If he says follow me, then you're doing something. But he says there's going to be a change. There's going to be a transition. He says, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. You past season of your life, you were fishing for fish. But you follow me. There's a change, a transition. This is a different season. This is a different time. I will make you. I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets. And then what they do, they followed him. Jesus said, follow me. And Peter stepped out of one season and entered into another season. There was change. He also made transformation. Here's the key. This word that this bear it right here. He says, and I will make you. I will, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. I will, the word make you in the Greek, or make in the Greek, it actually could be translated sprout forth. I will make you, I will sprout forth out of you so that you will become fishers of men. If I sprout this out of you, it means that it was planted in you when you were fishing for fish, but you had no knowledge of it because I was active in your life. But the season has changed and there's a transition. So now, instead of fishing for men, what I sowed into you is now sprouting out of you. But understand, what gripped their heart was change, transition, or downtime. We've been fishing for fish all night, ain't caught nothing. He says, your greatest catch is ahead of you. It's springing out of you. I will make you. I will bring it out of you. If I bring it out of you, it means that when you didn't notice, I had already planted it into you. Y'all didn't catch that right there. When you were crying, hey, you catch no fish, I'd already planted it in you. It's just that the time was not right. It just wasn't your season. Look over your neighbor and say, this is my season. And some of us say, and we believe because we hear it on all the prosperity teaching, this is my season. So you go home tomorrow and you open that mailbox, you're going to have a $1 million check in there. Or you go tomorrow and check your bank account like you normally do, and mysteriously there's going to be $50,000. Let me tell you something. If there's a mysterious 50 grand in your, I don't care if it's $50, I don't care if it's $5 in your, you better not spend that because they will discover. And they will put a surcharge on you. Am I right about it? You spent what you knew weren't yours. You didn't put it in there. I'm talking about that was a blessing. That ain't no blessing. That was a mistake. I remember years ago, man, the IRS, they sent me a check. Man, I ain't talking about the one I'm supposed to get because I was normally paying it. They gave me a refund. That's a refund check. Praise God. 6 months later, I got a letter. They say, oops. Oops. We not only want the money back, but we want interest. I say, what? When we say this is your season, what I mean is this is your season. Embrace this season. It ain't the season I look at it, I'm looking forward to. Is this season is my season. But I understand there's something sown in me that God is preparing me in this season for that season. But the time is not yet. But I know who governs the time. I said I know who governs the time. And I know he has a purpose, a plan for every life. See, you will never even come to the Lord Jesus as your Savior until the time is right. And it ain't when we say, you know, nah, I ain't quite ready yet, man. I think I'm going to come back next Sunday. No, when God says it's time, he will snatch you all up in your stuff. He said, no, now is the time. Now is the time. You say, well, what about free will? What about it? When he snatched you up in your collar and look you in your eyes, you say, okay, yeah, it is the time. I agree with you. I made a will and a choice to agree with you. You're right. You're absolutely right. Now is the time. Now's the time to make Jesus your choice because he has made you his choice. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks, oh God, and thank you for every season, even the seasons we don't like, the seasons that are not comfortable. I think, God, we're more dangerous. Not in the dry seasons, not in the dark seasons. Lord, we're more dangerous, Lord, in the good seasons. Because we forget. We forget you. And God, I just pray that we're mindful that you're actively at work at all times in our lives. I pray that you'd encourage someone here. Lord, strengthen their heart. Let them know that you're doing a good work, oh God. And you're faithful and you're just, and you're going to complete that work like the master potter. And sometimes the master potter has to take the clay down to nothing and get out all the impurities and the air bubbles and bring it back up. But Lord, you do it so gently. Lord, you don't do it to destroy us, but you wet your hands and keeps the wheel of life spinning. And ever so gingerly, Lord, you keep on blessing us. God, will you bless somebody today? Lord, help us to realize how much we have already been blessed and that we are being blessed. God, I thank you, Lord, for your people that you brought here to not only hear your word, O Father, but to leave this place living out your truth. Help us to be living witnesses. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's put our hands together.